Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Hi, my name is Chris McElyea, your host today. I'm thrilled that you join me as we spend time in God's Word this morning. We are continuing our ongoing study of the Old Testament in 2017. At this time, we are in the Proverbs, and today we're going to consider Proverbs chapter 14, There is a way that seemeth right to a man. Before we begin our study time this morning, I do want to remind you of a couple of things. One of those is the Mount Vernon Church of Christ Summer Youth Series there in Mount Vernon, Texas, the home of the Gospel Radio Network. And coming up next Wednesday, as we near the end of our series on the book of Hebrews, Brother Neil Thurman from the University Congregation in Tyler, Texas, will be speaking to us from Hebrews chapter 13. And then the following week, our series will conclude as Brother Dan Baum from the Beacon Congregation near Gun Barrel City brings us an overview as we wrap up the book of Hebrews. I also would like to remind you that just around the corner will be the Bible Bowl series of Northeast Texas beginning another year. This year, the planned topics are going to be 1 and 2 Corinthians. This is scheduled to kick off October the 19th at the North Jefferson Church of Christ in Mount Pleasant, Texas, which will be our testing center each month, and different congregations will host the event each month there at the North Jefferson building. And as of now, North Jefferson is scheduled itself to host that first one. So we're looking forward to that, the Bible Bowl series of Northeast Texas for the 2017-2018 school year, as we study 1 and 2 Corinthians. And the subject of testing for that first meeting on October 19th will be the first four chapters of 1 Corinthians. So we're looking forward to that. All right, let's turn our attention now this morning to God's Word as we consider the 14th chapter of the Proverbs. I find this to be a very exciting study. Every time that you look at the Proverbs, the wisdom and just sound information and teaching that we gain from those, it just seems fresh and new to me every time that I look at it. So let's go through first this 14th chapter, and let's just let our minds kind of kick back and relax and meditate and consider the words of this chapter before we begin to break it down a little further. Proverbs chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. He who walks in uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is perverse in his ways despises him. In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Where no oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it, but knowledge is easy to him who understands. Go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. the house of the wicked will be overthrown, but the tent of the upright will flourish. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Even in laughter the heart may sorrow, and the end of mirth may be grief. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil will bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor man is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends. He who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. Do they not go astray who devise evil? But mercy and truth belong to those who devise good. In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. A true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death. In a multitude of people is a king's honor, but in the lack of people is the downfall of a prince. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy. The wicked is banished in his wickedness, but the righteous has a refuge in his death. Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding, but what is in the heart of fools is made known. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him who causes shame. We are in the middle of a series of around 400 of Solomon's short proverbs that run from chapter 10 to the middle of chapter 22. The topics and the subjects jump around, but wisdom abounds in all of the proverbs. Most scholars would point to verse 12 as being the key verse to this chapter. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Now let's go back to the beginning And in the first six verses, we see the contrast of uprightness versus perversity. Verse 1, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. In a marriage, the wife has the choice to be the one who makes the home or breaks the home. A wise woman will support her husband and seek to help him and to support and to follow his leadership in the home. And this is something that is not done of compulsion, but willingly. The good wife will look to be to him as Aaron and Hur was to Moses in lifting up his arms to support him. The good wife will help her husband in his areas of weakness, and she will be one who glorifies God through her wise choices. When she makes the decision to build up the home as a haven of support for her husband and for the home to be a place for her children to thrive and to grow. She will seek to truly be the woman that is described in chapter 31 at the end of this amazing book known as the Proverbs. Verse 2 says, he who walks in uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is perverse in his ways despises him. A man that walks upright is a man who fears the Lord. It is the man who studies the Word of God and meditates upon it daily. It is the man who prays to God for wisdom. A man who fears the Lord will never have to be ashamed, as the psalmist repeatedly told us. But the man who despises the Word of God through his avoidance of the Word will soon be brought to shame because he is perverse in his ways. This is the man that blasphemes or rejects the Word of God. This man will be rejected by God for eternity, and he will be surrounded by those just like him in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. We cannot reject the Word of God, for it is what we will be judged by. And if we are going to be judged by the Word of God, and we understand that that is the standard that we are required to, it would do us much good to be well informed concerning the Word of God. Verse states that in the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. The rod of pride is in the mouth of a fool. This is those who speak evil of Christ and his church. Those who speak evil against the Word of God. It is those who have determined to live for themselves a life in opposition of the Lord. And to do such is to be a fool. However, according to the latter part of the verse, the wise man will guard his tongue and be preserved. Notice Matthew chapter 12 in verse 37. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Our words should certainly be seasoned with grace. Verse 4. Where no oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. You might have a clean barn with no oxen around, but you will go broke and starve without them. The increase or gain in a farming operation in that day would come by the strength of an ox. The work would have to be done with the ox to bring in the harvest on that farm. And so the point to us here in verse 4 is that we must work and not be lazy in order to be successful in the material world. But the application is true to the spiritual realm if we desire to be fruitful. In the spiritual realm, then we must be workers in the spiritual kingdom. Verse 5 says, a faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. This is a great truth. Chapter 25 and verse 19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. Have you ever had a bad tooth? Do you remember, or maybe perhaps you have one now, the trouble that it brings? A pain or an ache that just, it follows you wherever you go? Oh, you might can live with it, but oh, what an irritant it is. Such is an unfaithful man that utters lies. Verse 6. A scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it. But knowledge is easy to him who understands. The scoffer does not find wisdom because he does not want to find God. Our world is full of people just like this today. They seek wisdom and much learning, but they will never find it without finding God. In the scoffer, the heart is closed to truth. But knowledge and truth can be acquired. Jesus said to seek and you will find, and it can be found. The individual that opens his heart and mind to the Word of God will understand and come to the knowledge of truth. You know, I think of the creation debate. I've watched, you know, several of these debates, and the one who would take the stage as the proponent of evolutionary theory, those that would come up there with 9 degrees after their names and various titles, yet possessing great knowledge, they lack the wisdom of a 15-year-old that has grown up in Bible class opening his heart to God's Word. I say that more wisdom is found in the 15-year-old and more true happiness, for he has gained more understanding than the one who has spent a lifetime in the halls of academia but yet lived with his mind and heart closed to the Word of God. And now beginning in verse 7, we will consider verses 7 through 12 and the idea that fools mock sin. Verse 7 says, "Go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge." When we meet individuals, we quickly determine much about that individual that we happen to encounter as we go along life's journey. And the proverb writer here, Solomon, is trying to tell us that when we determine an individual is full of sinfulness, we need to avoid them. We are to avoid being corrupted by such individuals. The sad thing is, these prideful know-it-alls can often be found even within the church. I draw your attention to the words of the Apostle Paul in writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4. Notice the type of individual that Paul is telling us to avoid. He is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, which come from envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself. You know, I've known individuals in the church that were like these, especially those who move to the extremes of liberalism or legalism, either direction. They take great joy in disputes and arguments over words. They find in their mind godliness as a means of gain. Paul said to withdraw yourself from these types of individuals. Verse 8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Mature Christians will seek understanding and purpose to the walk. They will seek knowledge and grow in wisdom and spiritual maturity. Consider the words of the psalmist in that great 119th psalm in verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. The value of the word. It is the door to wisdom. Again, consider more of what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Sadly, the folly of fools is deceit. They will deceive themselves into an eternity of torment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, Paul spoke more of those that are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. He said, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Man must lean upon God and not the foolishness of the world for his guidance. The prophet Jeremiah in chapter 10 in verse 23 said, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Verse 9 says, Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. Have you paid attention to the entertainment world in recent years? Well, actually, I hope you haven't. But have you noticed how they take such joy and delight in sin? And also how they ridicule those that do not approve of their sinful ways? Christians must avoid the influence of popular culture and keep their influence away from our lives. The upright or the righteous will find favor with God, and God's blessing will cover these individuals and fill them with joy. Verses 10 and 11 says, The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. The house of the wicked will be overthrown, but the tent of the upright will flourish. The sufferings of an individual cannot be truly known by others. Each one of us is the only person that truly knows what our heart endures and goes through. Other people cannot truly know the level of your joy or your suffering. Without God, there is no solid rock or foundation to steady one as we go through life. The righteous are so much more prepared for trial and tribulation and to survive and come through even the worst of times. The wicked is like the foolish man who built his house upon the sand that Jesus spoke of in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7. The storms of life cannot destroy the house of the righteous that is built upon the solid rock. And that gives us an understanding of what the writer is telling us in verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. God's ways are above the ways of man. They are perfect, and man is weak in his ways. We read in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Man's thoughts are inclined to move toward the broad road that leads to destruction, rather than the narrow road that leads to life. How often today are men convinced that what is evil is good, and what is good is evil in our society? Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." We see in many of the modern day liberal, what I suppose, and in the mind of many, is a sincere thought of doing right. But some of these things, like homosexual marriage and things, it's a way that seems right to a man. You know, many people, and by man's reasoning, if they like each other and they want to be married, they ought to be able to, and that's their reasoning. But again, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. There are so many man-made additions to worship, to God's plan of salvation. And though often well-intended, nonetheless, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And as Isaiah said, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Don't read through that so fast you don't catch the meaning. For this is exactly what's taking place across the land, both in the secular realm and also in the spiritual realm. There are those who have begun to call evil good and good evil, darkness for light and light for darkness. And you don't have to think long on the subject. You can see the many places that is taking place. But I encourage you to remember that eternal life can only be found for those who put away the path of man and follow the precepts of the Lord. In verses 13 through 18, we see a contrast of the simple versus the prudent. Let's pick up with verses 13 and 14. "Even in laughter the heart may sorrow, and the end of mirth may be grief. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above." For many a man, the laughter that he is enjoying today will be turned to sorrow. Without a doubt, grief lies at the door for the ungodly. The wicked may seem to prosper and be happy, but all men will eventually reap what they sow, and those who have sowed evil will reap an evil harvest. The one who backslides from the Lord will encounter in due time a sad fate. But just as assuredly, the righteous will reap rewards and blessings in due time. Verse 15 says, "The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps." This is quite evident that the simple believes every word by the success the false teachers of this day have in alluring people into believing their nonsense. But the prudent individual will carefully consider God's word as he moves through and plans his life. He will prayerfully look to the Father for guidance and consider his steps. The gullible individual is on a dangerous road filled with potholes. Recall the words of the prophet Haggai. Consider your ways. Verses 16 and 17. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. A wise man will control his temper, and he will consider his ways before acting the fool. The wise man fears God and trusts and obeys his word. This is the opposite of the arrogant individuals that follow evil, thinking that God is detached or even dead, as so many in our society do today. Verse 18 says, "The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge." The crown of knowledge is a much wiser gain than the folly of the simple. Those who follow blindly the false teacher and the ways of the world will inherit eternal damnation, but the prudent will gain everlasting life. And now verses 19 through 24 give us a comparison between the devisers of evil and the devisers of good. Verse 19, "The evil will bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous." Though evil men seem to have all the power and good fortune on their side during this life, they will reap what they sow, and they will, in the end, bow at the name of Jesus. Through history, it has often been the poor and the oppressed that stood at the gate of the city in need, and the wicked mistreated them shamefully. However, that will change one day, and that change will last for an eternity. The wicked will be the one begging at the gate, just as the rich man begged for just a drop of water from the wrong side of the Hadean realm. Verse 20 says, "The poor man is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends." The world has always shown partiality to the rich, while the poor man has always been cast aside by society. The rich have many friends now because of their belongings. But you cannot take your riches across Jordan to the other side. You don't often see a U-Haul behind the hearse. The rich man will be brought to despair if he is without love, if he is without mercy and compassion, and if he fails to keep the commandments. Verse 21 says, "He who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he." Those who neglect the poor or oppress the poor have not loved their neighbor as himself, which is the second command after we are to love the Lord our God. This is sin, and God will not overlook their sin. But on the opposite side, those who look compassionately upon the poor and love them and help them will be blessed and obtain real happiness. Verse 22, "Do they not go astray who devise evil? But mercy and truth belong to those who devise good. In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. Those who devise evil, those who lay in their bed at night, scheming ways to take advantage of others, certainly go astray. They are in sin and have separated themselves from God. Oppositely, those who spend their time thinking of ways to help others and ways to spread the gospel to more will receive much needed mercy from the Lord. And they will have grabbed and held on to the truth. Labor and work is good for a man. Idle hands are most certainly the devil's workshop and lead only to poverty and to ruin. It is a shame to many in the United States that the American dream has become in the mind of many as the ideal of having tons of money and no work to do. This is a mindset that is going to cause increasing trouble in the land as time marches on. And so, we come now to the next section, verses 25 to 30, and here we'll see clearly pointed out that envy is rottenness to the bones. Verse 25, a true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. The witness who tells the truth will liberate often the falsely accused. And as we also know, the deceitful witness can send a man to prison or death with his falsehoods. Blessed is the man who speaks truth in all things. Verses 26 and 27, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Those who fear the Lord are confident, and they are filled with boldness. They know that God is their refuge. In Matthew chapter 10, 28, verse 28, Jesus said, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Indeed, it is the Lord who is the stronghold or refuge in the day of trouble. The prophet Nahum in chapter 1 and verse 7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. Again, to fear God is to place ourselves in position to be the recipient of endless blessings from the Lord God. Verse 28, in a multitude of people is a king's honor, but in the lack of people is the downfall of a prince. A king's honor is based upon the loyalty of many subjects of the king. When a king has few subjects, there is not much to honor to the king. With no willing subjects, a prince or a king is doomed. Verse 29, he who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. Wise is the man who thinks before he acts. This is a man who is not quickly consumed by passion and emotion in a crisis. The impulsive one will be caught quickly in his folly. Poor and unthought-out choices will bring great problems upon the impulsive. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 speak to this. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. According to verse 30, when you go to the doctor and he tells you that your heart is healthy, you are overjoyed. The heart is life to the body. Good health begins with the foundation of a healthy heart. When envy fills your bones, it is a rottenness worse than cancer. It destroys the inner man and leads to spiritual death. And spiritual death is far worse than physical death from a bad heart. And then we move to our last section of Proverbs 14, and that is the fact that righteousness exalts a nation, beginning in verse 31. Verse 31 says, he who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy. Man was created in the likeness or image of God. To oppress another man, especially the poor, is a reproach to the Creator. We honor God when we consider and react to the poor and the needy. Verse 43 of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus spoke there in verse 46. He said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Love is not reserved for just those who are like us. It must be shown to the poor, the oppressed, and even our enemies. Verse 32 says, the wicked is banished in his wickedness, but the righteous has a refuge in his death. The wicked have nothing to look forward to. In fact, that's part of the reason why the wicked will always be unsatisfied in this life. The wicked will ultimately be banished for eternity. Their sins will have separated them from God. An eternity without God. The righteous, even when they are oppressed upon earth, are still filled with hope and expectation of the eternal refuge that awaits. This is the hope and the expectation that will sustain a faithful Christian through even the darkest hours of this life. Verse 33. Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. But what is in the heart of fools is made known. A fool in his folly will be quite evident to all. But the wise man will have understanding in his heart and guard his actions and his lips. We might draw a comparison here to the one who partakes in alcohol. The man who is wise and avoids such guards and controls his words and his action. But as a man partakes of one drink after another, the intoxicant begins to affect his body, and he becomes more boisterous with each drink, less inhibited, and before long his foolishness is displayed for all men to see. What a powerful statement we have in verse 34. Oh, if people would heed these words today. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I challenge you to name one nation that followed God and met its demise. All nations that fall away from God will not stand forever. A righteous nation that honors God as its King Supreme will stand and will be blessed. But sin is a reproach to any people and will bring a nation to its knees if left unrepentant for too long. However, what a joyous thought to know that God will forgive those who repent. I think of Jonah going to Nineveh, a huge, wicked city. But yet he preached to them the need to repent, and they did. And God preserved that nation for many years, though he was about to destroy it. But that would be put off until they returned again to their wickedness, before Nineveh would see destruction. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and heal their land." Verse 35 says, "The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him who causes shame." When we think about the wisdom of this chapter, I think we'll close with the words of James in James chapter 4 and verse 6. "But he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Praise be to God for this precious book divine that we have. These words given to these writers of the Old and New Testament, that the Holy Spirit, who searched the mind of God and give us all of these things in this precious book, all that is needed and all that pertains to life and godliness, everything that we need to live the life that God desires for us, and to be able to spend eternity in a place beyond our description, heaven. It's all right here. If only we'll have the wisdom to learn it, to live it, and to teach others. I hope you've enjoyed and benefited from our time together. I know that I have, and I've been encouraged by your presence. If the Lord wills, I'll see you again next week. Tomorrow, J.J. and Chris Groda will pick up with the 15th Proverb, chapter of Proverbs. I also invite you to join me Friday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time for our Studies in the Gospels program as we study through the life of Christ and the Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I would be honored for you to join us then. And so, until next time, this is Chris McElyea saying so long and have a great day.